You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. The podcast.
Pocketbook. For Dak Prescott.
Yay! Another Jaeger bomb!
Roadies meeting the back after? On to the next stop on the tour. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests on the Goodyear Hotline. Next stop on the guest tour on the Goodyear Hotline is Chris Canty, who knows a little thing or two about winning Super Bowls.
C.
Little thing or two about playing for the Dallas Cowboys.
Am I allowed to call him CC? Is he the original CC? Or because they're still doing nicknames, right?
Right. Well, next month, if it's CC Sabathia talking to CC on DCR, your head might just explode. But Chris obviously is a Super Bowl champion. He knows what it's like to play for the Cowboys. And now you're in a situation where it's the perfect meld, because who better to talk about those two things than Chris? And by the way, DCR airs every weekday morning on our New York affiliate 98.7 from 5 to 8 a.m. Eastern Time, going right into Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. And Jay appears every Monday at 5:30 a.m. Eastern weekly. And Key, his first appearance is going to be Friday, and that'll be every Friday moving forward at 5:30 a.m. Eastern as well. Great to be linked
to be
with DCR and KJZ. But Key saying it's TBD. No, it's not, Key. TBD.
That time slot is locked in, Key.
That is indeed locked in. By the way, the last time we talked about the Cowboys and the Super Bowl, the last time the Cowboys won the Super Bowl, Dak Prescott was 2.5 years old. So now it is just,
well, at least he was alive.
Yeah, he was alive. Early 1996.
That sounds long, right?
Early 96. Yeah. Dak was born in the summer of 93. Mm. Chris is in. All right, Chris, good morning. Young. What's your reaction to the biggest news in the NFL this morning?
That's a whole lot of money for Dak Prescott. I don't know that anybody's waking up to having a better day than Dak is this morning. I mean, this was a deal that if it was going to get done, it was going to be more of what Dak wanted, and Jerry Jones finally decided he was going to give, and Dak ends up getting a deal that he wants to the tune of $126 million in the first 3 years of the deal and $75 million in year one. So, I mean, if you're trying to figure out who won this deal, I don't think you have to think long about it. It's Dak Prescott.
What will it take, Chris, for the Cowboys to get back to the Super Bowl now that Dak is wrapped up?
Well, I think them getting the deal done and lowering Dak's cap number from that $37 million on the franchise tag to around $22 million is going to help them. Gives them some cap relief. They can go out and be bargain shoppers in free agency to add to their roster. They still got to fortify the interior of that defensive line. They still got to address their secondary, particularly their cornerback position. And then you'd like to see them try to make a move with the interior of that offensive line. But, I mean, there are a lot of pieces in place for the Cowboys to cook this year. When you look at the landscape of the NFC East, there's no way that sitting here today you couldn't consider them as the favorite. So if you're talking about a team that's going to be a championship contender, you first got to start with them being able to get into the tournament. And I feel like the Cowboys today, with locking up Dak Prescott, I mean, they're in the driver's seat for trying to compete for the NFC East title.
All right, CC. I mean, we say that every year about the Cowboys. I'm just saying, can we transition very quickly to my Giants? Where do you have Daniel Jones ranking as far as it relates to NFC East quarterbacks?
I mean, right now you'd have to say he's second, right? Right behind Dak Prescott. I don't know that Taylor Heinicke is going to be the starting quarterback week one for the Washington football team. And Jalen Hurts has such a small sample size, I don't know that how you could give him the nod over Daniel Jones. But that being said, there's a huge question mark for Daniel Jones coming into this season. It's his third year, and Key knows Bill Parcells used to always say, I'll give a player 3 years to show me what he can do, and then after that I'm going to make a determination. This is a huge year coming up for Daniel Jones. He's going to have to prove that he's more like the quarterback we saw in the second half of last year, cutting down on the turnovers, than the guy that we've seen in the first 16 or so odd games of his pro career. So I just think that Daniel Jones has got a lot of show and prove, but he's going to have to make some huge strides, and that Giants offense is going to have to be a lot better for the organization to have any conviction about him being their quarterback moving forward.
Okay, give it to me. What's the best case scenario for the Giants next year?
I mean, the best case scenario is that they win the division, right? Jay, I don't necessarily think that they're going to be the favorites coming into 2021 to win the NFC East, but you're talking about a team that was in it until the end last year. I mean, week 17, they needed a win, and then they had to depend on Philadelphia to be able to upset Washington in order to get into the tournament, but that could have happened. So, I mean, I don't think that you lower your expectations coming into 2021. If anything else, you build on year one of Joe Judge. So, to me, the Giants, you know, definitively taking that next step and getting back to the postseason, I think it's a possibility. There's a lot of work to be done between now and then, but I would say that would have to be the goal.
Chris Canty, a co-host of DRC. Did I say it right? A DCR?
No, DCR.
DCR.
I know it's a lot of letters between KJZ and DCR.
DRC, DCR, I mean – you know, I can go all
Dave,
over the
Rick
place
and Chris,
with that.
It don't matter. Dave, Rick, and Chris.
Yeah,
we'll take
Dave,
that.
Rick, and Chris, you're going to take that. Yeah. Joining us here this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. See, I got that one right. What's the worst-case scenario for the New York Giants?
I mean, the worst-case scenario is you find out that the guy that you invested the sixth overall pick in 3 years ago is not your future franchise quarterback. Mm. I mean, that's when it becomes disastrous to have to rebuild and try to find a franchise quarterback in year three of Joe Judge. That's not the situation that the Giants want to be in. I mean, if you miss on Daniel Jones, you're probably talking about also trying to find another general manager along with the quarterback because Dave Gettleman's probably out. So I think that would be worst case scenario if Daniel Jones continues to turn the football over, if he doesn't show that he's your guy and you've got to be forced to find another quarterback. I think that's the scenario that nobody that's a fan of Big Blue wants to see happen.
Chris, this is like the Dak Prescott thing, right, with the Sam Darnold. Like, when is this going to happen? What's going on? What are the long-term plans for Sam Darnold? What, like, where are we at with this now?
Well, I mean, I don't know, Key. I mean, you're getting mixed reports out of Florham Park. You know, the Jets haven't made up their mind about what they want to do with Sam. They're going to listen to all offers. But to me, if you're going to listen to offers on your quarterback, that means you don't have a quarterback. Like, I believe that if you have conviction about the guy that's under center, then you're not going to entertain trading him. So from that perspective, I think the Jets are probably going to go down the road of drafting a quarterback with the second overall pick. I mean, in a draft where you're talking about four quarterbacks potentially going in the top 10, I mean, if you can have any one of those guys not named Trevor Lawrence, I think you have to strongly consider it. So I think that's the situation that the Jets are looking at. But based on the first 3 years of Sam as a quarterback in the NFL, I don't know how Joe Douglas could potentially pass on taking a quarterback at two.
Chris Canty is joining us this morning on the Goodyear Hotline. As always, I got
water.
Five
Come
bottles
on,
of water
together,
in front of me.
Zoom. Let's get through it.
Very emotional moment here. Very emotional moment on the show. So the color collage goes from Big Blue to Gang Green for the Jets, as the tabloids call them. Chris, I want you to hang on a second if I don't die before we get to this next caller.
Jeez.
Eddie in New York, you got something. Chris just talked about Sam Darnold. What do you got on Darnold? And we'll see what the fellas, including Chris, have to say about it. Hey, good morning, Eddie.
Eddie, you there?
Okay, much like his voice, he apparently is dead. So my voice is dead and he is dead. Steven in Texas will get to you here in just a second. You know what? You know what? Steven in Texas, go here. Chris is a veteran of the Giants and the Cowboys, and that's where you want to go. Go ahead, Steven.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's that?
Hey,
what's
man. Up, man? So I heard y'all talking about the Giants this morning and, you know, about the quarterback situation. I think my personal opinion, what they should do with the 11th overall pick is go help the quarterback out with Jalen Waddle. What do y'all think about that?
Well, here's the thing. I think a lot of what the Giants plan at receiver will be this offseason is going to depend on what happens today with Allen Robinson in Chicago or Kenny Golladay in Detroit. But I would try to prioritize the receiver position in free agency. Not to say that you can't get a receiver in the draft that can contribute immediately, but I have more confidence in a proven commodity and a veteran player. And I think that's important because that guy is going to help you determine whether or not you got a quarterback. Similar to what the Dallas Cowboys did when they traded for Amari Cooper to try to get answers on Dak Prescott, I think that has to be the mentality for Dave Gettleman and Joe Judge coming into this season. Because, again, this is year three for Daniel Jones. that he needs to show and prove that he's a franchise quarterback. He has to have a bona fide number one wide receiver in order to help him do that.
And Chris is exactly right. It's very difficult. I know you've seen guys come into the league and have splashes as rookies at receivers, and you go, oh, my God, oh, my God. But that doesn't happen too often. It's a hard position to make a splash at, Chris, as I would know. It's just hard to do. It takes time because you got to understand the defenses, the route combinations, and all the little intricate parts of playing the position.
And it's also a dependent position, right?
Yes.
Depending on who's throwing you the football.
And who's calling the plays.
Right.
And who's blocking up front. And who's opposite of you at the other receiver position.
Eddie in New York is back. Eddie, unlike me, go full-throated. What do you got here for Chris Canty and the crew on Sam Darnold?
So I'm alive from the grave, guys, you know.
Oh, he's back. He's resurrected.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Good to hear you. On Sam, say the Jets jump the gun right now and offer him a contract right now for 5 years. What do you think that value would be? What would you offer him?
I wouldn't do that.
Especially when you have the fifth-year option available to
you. Exactly.
I mean, so if you're the Jets and you want to try to see what Sam has left, or you feel like, you know, you can put the pieces around him and he can still be a successful NFL quarterback with your franchise, then, yeah, you just stay with Sam, you use the draft capital that you have, and you try to build out the rest of your roster. The Jets are in a spot where, you know, they can just throw darts at a dartboard because they need everything. I mean, there aren't too many places on this roster where you would look at it and say the Jets are set. So they need a lot of help. So if they did decide to stay with Sam, I think they would have a lot of opportunities, a lot of different avenues in order to put the proper support around Sam. But, I mean, we still got to come back to the question of whether or not we think Sam can do the job. And just based on the tape that you have the last 3 years, I don't know what you would see that would give you any type of belief that Sam definitively is your guy.
I don't know, CeCe. He has a quizzical look on his face.
No,
right now.
I the reason I look like that is because I'm trying to source through the numbers in my head of picking up the fifth-year option, which is fully guaranteed, mm-hmm. the franchise tag the year after. So I'm just trying to put it together.
Weigh that against the fact that five-year deal.
You know, because what I would offer him on a long-term deal, he's not going to accept. It would be insulting. But at the same time, if I decide to pick up the fifth-year option and then I miss on that, now I'm back to square one, trying to find a quarterback post 2022 season. So it's kind of like, I don't know what to do. And I think that's where the Jets are.
And Chris, how about this? Shane in Oregon's on ESPN Radio. He called us up and demanded, quote, I want to talk to Canty. All right, Shane, talk to him.
This ain't his show.
Hey, good morning from the West Coast, guys. Canty, I just had a quick question. What do you think about the release of Dunlap and coming to the Cowboys now? Do you think he'd be a good fit there?
I think it's curious, but here's the thing. I don't know that the Dallas Cowboys are going to be able to afford to add to their defensive ends on their roster. I mean, they've got a lot of needs that they have on the defensive side of the ball, and defensive end really isn't one of them. I think they like what they have in Tank Lawrence and Randy Gregory, and hopefully they can bring back Alden Smith on the cheap. But I think defensive end is a place where the Cowboys are pretty solid at. They got to address defensive tackle, and they got to address cornerback. So we'll have to see what happens. Now, that being said, there are going to be a lot of veteran players that are going to sign deals on the cheap, one-year situations, try to set themselves up to get back to free agency in a better situation with a better salary cap in 2022. So maybe you can get a veteran guy on the low that can be a contributor, but I just don't see Carlos Dunlap as a guy that's going to come to the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, and I think Carlos Dunlap will go back to Seattle. This move was made basically to free up some salary cap space. You know how they do that, Chris. Cut you, let you go test the market, kind of knowing that you're not going to get the numbers that you think you're going to get, and then they sign you back, and I think he's open to that.
And, Chris, I'll tell you, Key will see you Friday morning, bright and early, 5:30 a.m. Eastern on DCR.
Oh, yeah.
The K of KJZ, and the Alphabet Soup rolls on. Every Monday with Jay, 5:30 a.m. Eastern, end the week with Key on DCR.
Hey, man, congratulations.
Appreciate you, man. I'm excited, dude. I'm excited. I know you got some advice for me.
You know, I got you handled if you need what I told you.
No. Wait, CeCe, I got to ask you a question. You put on sunblock before you go outside, man?
Here we go.
Really, that's what we're going to do, Jay?
I'm just asking you. It's a spirited conversation in the studio right now.
No, Jay, I don't.
So when you go to the beach, no SPF?
No.
Okay. All right. All right. Just asking.
I know what you're doing, Jay.
No, it's Zoom.
I know what you're doing right now.
I'm just asking the question.
I don't even know why you want to take it there. I know what you're doing. You're not slick, Jay Williams.
No, I'm not trying to be slick, CeCe.
This is where his fiance is going to come in and yes. say, Chris, common sense here. We want to be married forever. You need to put on some SPF.
I'm just telling you, Chris is not putting on sunblock. He's not wearing sunblock.
Never mind. I'll leave it. I'm going to leave it.
Let it go, JJ. Let it go.
You see how I stopped myself, CeCe? I stopped myself.
We can go a lot of places with the conversation. I can, if Jay would have asked me prior to that if Chris wore sunblock, when he go, I could have told Jay, absolutely not. There's certain people I know based on their personalities who puts it on, who doesn't.
We wasn't putting on sunblock when we was going out there for Bill Parcells' two-a-days, Key.
Not at all.
That wasn't what we was thinking about.
I haven't put on sunblock my whole life, but since I got married, my wife's like, what are you doing?
There you
go. Long-term. And plus, now I have to do it to my daughter every time. Not every time she goes outside, but like when we go to the beach, you know what I mean?
You're outside for a long period
so
of time.
I found myself doing it because of that, not because I never did it as a kid. I never thought twice about it.
We'll see you Friday.
Catchy ain't got nothing to
say. All right, because CeCe ain't married. Well, he gonna find out. He gonna find out. Okay. All right. I'm going to call you in about 6 months from now. You're going to tell us differently.
There's a lot of things that you'd be surprised, though, Zubin. There's a lot of things.
Such as? Now you have to think about it.
No.
Go for it. This is one of our highest rated segments. So just if you're going to do it now.
Can't he? Is he still with us? Oh, he's gone.
Thank y'all you. Are making it real awkward and real.
No, this is great, Canty. This is our show.
Let me ask you this, Chris.
Uh-oh.
What's up?
When you throw a party, do you have, out of these three at your party, you're going to eliminate one? Doritos.
Okay.
Plain pretzels.
Oh, no.
Or Cheetos. Which one has to go?
I hate you for this, Key, but you know the pretzels got to
go.
Pretzels got to go.
I'm just saying.
Key, but the pretzels got to go.
There's some people that would argue with you that the pretzels is a must. That's all I'm asking you.
Key, those would be the same people that think Chick-fil-A's chicken sandwich is better than Popeye's chicken sandwich.
I'm just, man.
Completely different.
Hey, they're sponsors. Calm down.
Are we talking nacho or Cool Ranch? I need to know.
We're talking nacho.
Nah. Gotta have Cool
Ranch.
But
you're going with the bland pretzel, Evan?
Nah, I gotta have Cool Ranch.
So if you can't have Cool Ranch, you're keeping the pretzels.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Bottom line is Cheetos gotta stay. Cheetos cannot be eliminated from the discussion.
No, Cheetos is not. But if I ask Canty, this question.
Okay.
If the pretzels were milk chocolate or yogurt flavored.
Okay.
Or are they on the table?
Yogurt flavor? I've never had the yogurt flavor.
The white chocolate.
Oh, the white ones?
Okay.
Maybe it's a consideration, but I wouldn't have them on the table over the other two.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
But if they were there, it would be okay. You would walk by and probably eat one of those.
Key, you know what?
If they were there, it would be okay because that means that my girlfriend, well, now my fiance got them. And I probably wouldn't argue against them being there. But I ain't buying them.
CeCe, one more for you. Is this a cookout or a barbecue?
Depends on what you're having there. Depends on what you're having, Jay.
Well, you tell me.
A cookout is just burgers and dogs. A barbecue, I mean, then you talk about ribs being on there, maybe some steaks.
You can't do the ribs and the steaks at a cookout?
No, because a cookout is a grill.
Why are you being so specific towards
because
this category?
Because a cookout is a gas grill.
A little bit lower when it comes
to a
cookout.
Man, that's CeCe. A gas grill.
Everybody on the East Coast, we have cookout. I don't hear.
Well, hold on, Key. I got to stop you right there.
Why?
With the gas grill, I don't do that. I don't trust people that have barbecues or cookouts.
That's what I'm saying.
It's got to be the charcoal, man.
It got to be the charcoal, but
yeah,
but. When I call a cookout, a gas grill. A barbecue, charcoal.
See, they're all charcoal to me.
Yeah, they all charcoal to me,
yeah,
Key.
No.
I don't trust people that have cookouts with gas. They right there with people that don't like bacon and dudes that wear black Air Force Ones. I just don't trust them.
I don't trust Air Force Ones.
Who wears black Air Force Ones?
Exactly, Jay. That's the point. Who does wear black Air Force Ones?
So before I let you go, I want to ask you this question. Have you ever been to a barbecue where the homies just take out the meat and throw it on the grill and put salt and pepper on it and think that it's cool?
No, I ain't never been in one of them. No.
Oh, I'm just making sure. Because you see some commercials every now and then promoting barbecues, and they do that. I'm like, nah, man.
Nah, where they do that at, Key? Because I ain't seen that one.
Let's just say this conversation got as twisted as a pretzel, and leave it at that.
Chris, all right, man. See you Friday.
Chris, thanks, man.
All right, guys. All right, have a good one.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin coming to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. After 3 years, Dak waited, and it paid off because he finally got paid. So who's next to see that bank account swell? We'll run down all the contenders. That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin on ESPN Radio and the ESPN.
Hey, Aaron.
There's been no bigger breaking moves this NFL offseason than the Cowboys' record contract with Dak Prescott. Breaking Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Interesting comment there from Werder that caught your attention there, Key, right?
He said only the second quarterback to get a second contract?
That's what he said, yeah. Since Jerry bought the team. That's Ed Werder who's been around the team. So.
What about Troy and Romo? Did one of them?
There
Troy
must
not
be a distinction there, obviously.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, I wonder what he means by that. Because I was like, wait a minute, what about Romo or Troy?
Right. They've had some journeymen, but they've had some great ones, too.
Yeah, I mean, geez, I can run off a list if you really. This wasn't a tee-up or anything like that, but I just got a list right here.
But I'll take it as an opportunity.
Yeah, I'll take it as an opportunity. And so when you think about it, since Troy Aikman, they've had quarterbacks like Brandon Wheaton, Quincy Carter, Anthony Wright, Ryan Leaf, Brad Johnson, Drew Bledsoe, Chad Hutchinson, Vinny Testaverde, Drew Henson, Matt Castle, Kellen Moore, Kyle Orton, just to name a few. That's like – just to name a few, then they had like a Romo, right? And then after Romo, whatever, you got Andy Dalton there, starter because of injury. But Dak Prescott, and I'm talking about between Troy and – there was Troy and then nothing. And then Romo and then nothing. And then they hit on Dak, and now they got him for the next 4 years tied up, locked – sealed and delivered.
Indeed. America's team, in the way Key says it, was an all-or-nothing proposition. But now that Dak is in the fold, they are all in to try to get that first Super Bowl in more than a quarter century. That's our question this morning. In the next 4 years, what's more likely to happen since Dak's deal is at the four-year mark he wanted? Cowboys finally win that elusive Super Bowl, or Dack leaves the team? Hit us up, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, Key, J, and Z on Twitter. We will try to get to some of your responses throughout the morning. So Key just listed off a bunch of journeyman, vagabond quarterbacks. Not exactly the most memorable names that have ever stood under center in the National Football League. But from those guys that weren't super impressive to these names that are, we're essentially asking, look, Dak got paid. It finally happened. So, as Key said, it's this guy's time. Whoever is next gets the next most amount of money. Question is, who is next? Could be long-term extension, could be a fifth-year extension. Jai's I'm just going to throw out some names and just add one and make your case. Rodgers, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, oof, Baker Mayfield, Jameis Winston if he balls out, Matthew Stafford. I mean, who is next here short and long term?
I would go Aaron. Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you've been saying this for a while, right?
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers will be next up, but outside of Aaron Rodgers, I mean, Aaron Rodgers will be next, right?
Okay.
So just because,
yes.
Yeah, you check him off, and the reason Aaron Rodgers will be next is he's got some higher salary cap numbers, no more guaranteed money, and he's underpaid.
$33.5 million.
And it sounds like he's underpaid, right?
Same number as Jared Goff.
But it sounds
it's crazy. It's crazy.
He's underpaid.
Yes.
And you want to keep him for the next 5 years as your quarterback. So what you do to Aaron Rodgers and what I would do if I was Green Bay is I go to Aaron Rodgers between now and the start of the season and say, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you a 3-year, $150 million guaranteed extension, and we're going to give you $100 million up front. And that's the way we're going to do this deal, and we want you here for the next 5 years as our starting quarterback. And it's nothing else to talk about. And I'm giving Green Bay's money away. But Aaron Rodgers is a $50 million quarterback.
Agreed.
I don't care that he hadn't won a Super Bowl since he won the first one. I could care less. It's his turn. He's a $50 million guy. And then from there,
Lamar Jackson.
You look at Lamar, Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield. I may have to, depending on what happens this year, Russell Wilson.
You signing Baker Mayfield to an extension? You're really adamant about it? Because I'm not.
I may look at it. Doesn't mean I have to.
Okay.
Doesn't mean I have to do any of the dudes. But you economically.
I think Lamar and Josh, yes.
Economically, doesn't mean just because I signed Baker Mayfield to an extension doesn't have to. Baker Mayfield won't be at that $45 million number. I could present him with something different. I could present him with a lesser number. I could put him in the line with Carson Wentz and Jared Goff. I could just see what it is. I mean, you know, because a lot of people around the league don't feel about Baker Mayfield the way we might feel about him as a team. So he needs to know that. If you try to play cutesy-cutesy and you get out into that marketplace 2 years from now, it might be different for you. So you got to be careful about that. Russell Wilson, I take a look at him, extending him after this season because he's good for another 5 years, so I might want to see what his numbers are. If I'm Seattle or whatever team, if he's traded to, who else is there? Next year, it'll be Kyler Murray. This is a big year for Kyler Murray, big year for Cliff Kingsbury. Josh Allen, we mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
You got to look at that deal. Maybe that deal, maybe Buffalo learned something from the Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, Dak Prescott kind of conversation where now if you wait, that number goes up significantly based on the television money that'll kick in. So it's all those guys, but Aaron Rodgers is the one guy that'll probably be the first $50 million quarterback.
Russell Wilson's at $35 million a year right now, which is still feels like he's underpaid too, considering he was an MVP candidate at the beginning of the year.
His deal is so relatively new, though, I think. I think it's so fresh you need one more year to address it. You get one more year, and then you could kind of –
Russ is like, look, we can worry about the contract later. Just give me a damn O-line.
Yeah. Yeah, you do that too.
And we'll wait to see what happens because obviously, again, not that he's going to be traded, but one of those four options was Dallas that his agent Mark Rodgers told Adam Schefter. Obviously, that option is off the table.
It would never was on the table, but yeah.
Yes, technically, right?
Yeah, it's off the table. Now you're down to Chicago.
Well, Chicago will need a third party, the Raiders and New Orleans.
Raiders, New Orleans, and I don't
see it happen in New Orleans.
I don't see where New Orleans is going to do it. I don't think they have the capital, the value, to give for Russell Wilson. I think the Raiders are happy. General Manager Mike Mayock said about a week ago, Carr's their guy. Mm-hmm. So I think that essentially is off the table.
Should Chicago work out a deal with the Jets? You have a three-way trade?
Should they work out a deal with the Jets?
I mean.
Man, if I'm Russell Wilson, why would I want to go to Chicago, though?
Well, look, I know obviously you have some – you have some thoroughbreds in Seattle. But Chicago's an incredible city. It's a city which there's desperate need, right? So yes. When there's desperate need, I have a chance to maybe mold like almost wet clay. I can mold this organization the way I want it. So if I'm having issues with Pete Carroll, he's not letting me do things the way I want to do it. Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace are in a position where they will allow Russell to do that. He can own that city and own that franchise.
You will, so you want me to leave?
I'm not saying I want it to leave. I'm just if there's a position of power that you would want. If Russell wants that, that's an option that he wants to flirt with. Chicago will probably be the one city where he'll be able to have that kind of control and power.
Now, I'm Russell Wilson, though.
Okay.
So, you want me to leave Tyler Lockett.
I understand the weapons. I know. That's why I said the weapons. I prefaced it with saying the weapons.
And I signed off on Shane, the new offensive coordinator that came over from the Rams, because we got rid of Brian Schottenheimer. And I signed off on him to be my OC. So, I'm going to leave Seattle, or Russell's going to leave Seattle, DK, Lockett. We're going to leave that to go to Matt Nagy.
Look.
And nothing to throw to.
If it comes,
because Allen Robinson is most likely going to hit the free agent market.
If it comes to a head with Pete Carroll, put your money where your mouth is.
So from a Seattle.
I ain't doing that. I'm sorry.
Seattle. Well,
what other option would you have?
I'm going to stay in Seattle. I'll complain.
I hear you. I'm just saying.
I complained about what we were doing from an offensive standpoint. We fired Schottenheimer. I signed off and met with the new offensive coordinator. I signed off on it that you gave me an opportunity to be involved. So I'm involved in that. Now I'm going to leave.
But here's my thing. If your plan was to work it out, like, why even allow your agent, which it's not coming from the agent, it's coming from Russell Wilson, and he's been dead quiet about this whole thing. Why even give the four options? Like, why do that? Like, say, I'm not happy here right now.
You know,
I don't have to give four specified options with where I might want to be. I'm just not happy with where we're at. I would have handled that so differently if I wasn't willing to put my money where my mouth was with the options that are out there.
Yeah, I think sometimes, though, people say things and do things to be heard and not necessarily really want what could potentially happen. He just wants to be heard. He just wants to be heard. And he's being heard.
Okay.
It sounds great. Going to the Jets sounds great until you get there, right? And putting New York, saying
it's
all
this. I had a great time with the Jets.
Currently.
Oh, currently.
Right? I mean, it sounds great. Biggest stage, all that stuff.
It just depends, though, man. It's a different it's different when you think about it. You got a new head coach in Robert Saleh. You have a new offensive coordinator in Mike LaFleur, a new general manager in Joe Douglas. It just feels like the Jets are headed in the right direction.
Some momentum.
There is no retread, so to speak, microwaving the general managers, listening to all these old head general managers and personnel people saying, you should hire this guy, you should hire this. That's not what's going on. That's what went on in the past with the Jets. They relied too heavily on the old guard in the National Football League, and they got it wrong most of the time. Where this time around, I don't feel like that they're relying on that.
We'll see. We'll see. Got to win the offseason. When you win two during the regular season, it's all you have to look forward to. Key's going to get up. Tell Greeny I'll pick up his dry cleaning right when the show's over. On the way, we'll ask the person who told Mark Rogers about those four teams, down to three on Russ after Jay has this from Granger.
For all the ones who get it done, Granger is always there to help. Granger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help keep your facilities safe and your people even safer. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Granger.com, or just stop on by.
Hey, it's Greeny. Dallas and Dak have a deal. How do they get it done? And what does it mean for the Cowboys and the rest of the league? We're talking about it Tuesday. It's Greeny, starting 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
For the ones who get it done, Granger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I don't play the game for money. Never once in my life have I ever touched a football and thought about an individual bank accounts or what was to come. I play the game because of my love, my passion. Let's go! I control what I control, and the rest, I don't give it too much worry. I don't give it too much thought.
Back, this Jerry Jones and your Dallas Cowboys.
From a little boy, I've always imagined being the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, and I've been blessed to be that. And never imagine wearing anything else.
Number four in the fold for four more years. But this is no election. Although he might be the most popular guy in Texas today, Dak Prescott. Let's bring in the guy that broke the story and set it off. And it's been the conversation in the NFL from the very moment that Adam Schefter reported it. The NFL's best insider joins us on the Goodyear Hotline. All right, Adam, kind of take us through the details about how this finally all came together.
Well, Zubin, what happened was Chris Mortensen, to his credit, was told last week that this deal was likely to get done in the next 3 to 4 days. Now, we were met with firm denials all along the way with people who were not exactly forthcoming, but there was a sense that something was clearly going on over the weekend when talks escalated. And they escalated because, frankly, both sides knew what was at stake, especially the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys could not have Dak Prescott on another franchise tag for $37.7 million this year in a year where the cap goes down. And they could not have him on a second franchise tag when he would have the possibility of walking out the door after next season and the Dallas Cowboys not having a quarterback. And with their backs to the wall, the Cowboys obviously stepped up negotiations over the weekend, and they spent all day yesterday hammering out a deal that essentially ties Dak Prescott to Dallas for the next 4 years. Now, it's a six-year deal. It voids to four. Four is really the only number that matters here, but Dak Prescott cannot be traded during the time of this deal, and he can't be tagged again, which means he will be a free agent again at the age of 31 when the new TV money kicks in. So Dak Prescott hit a home run here, and it may pale in comparison to what's ahead for him when you consider that 5 years ago, Peyton Manning wrapped up a career with the Denver Broncos that paid him $77 million, and Dak Prescott 5 years later gets $160 million, which, oh, by the way, is $4 million more than Jerry Jones paid for the Dallas Cowboys as a franchise in 1989. Dallas had to have the deal. It keeps its quarterback for the next 4 years. It frees up $15.5 million against the cap this year, and Dak Prescott gets, obviously, one of the richest deals in NFL history.
Shefty, did Dak Prescott come down at all from the money he was looking for? Because people were saying he wanted Patrick Mahomes' money, or did Dallas give him everything he wanted?
Jay, the money is not the issue here. When you look at what Dak got in the end, he got $126 million in guaranteed money. That's the single largest guarantee ever. He got $66 million signing bonus, the single largest signing bonus ever. So the money was not an issue. Dak had them, and he knew he had them. He had leverage, and he used his leverage in this particular case. The disagreement all along, I think, going back to last year, was over years. Dak Prescott wanted a four-year deal last year. The Cowboys wanted a five-year deal. So really, in the end, what happens is it's a compromise. Dak does get the four-year deal, but he does it after he played for 1 year, and the Dallas Cowboys get him for the 5 years that they wanted. So each side can claim a little bit of a victory there, and each side gets a little bit of what it wants here, but it's a big deal for the Dallas Cowboys, and I think everybody was surprised at how much Dak got in the end.
Okay, so you secure your franchise QB. What's next on the priority list for the Cowboys?
Well, they still are over the cap, so they still have to clear out space. But again, the idea that you can get the deal done with Dak and save $15.5 million allows you to keep more players than you would have had to been able to do otherwise if he was on the 37-7. So I'm sure there'll be restructuring contracts. There may be some transactions. Every team is obviously waiting to hear exactly what the salary cap number is going to be. There are discussions ongoing about that, and that also will help dictate what teams like Dallas and every team across the league is going to do, because teams don't have still an exact number of what the cap is going to be, and the league year is scheduled to open 1 week from tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern. Again, the league said, I think last week, that the cap will be at a floor of $180 million. I think it'll be around 181 in the end. Some teams are hoping 185. I think it'll be close to the 181. We'll see where it comes in. They haven't got a determination, but those millions obviously mean an extra player or two.
Shefty, let's transition to Russell Wilson for a second, because I'm curious with your relationship talking to Mark Rogers on the teams that were reported that he wanted to go to potentially but didn't work out in Seattle. Now you take Dallas off the board. It leaves the Bears. It leaves the Saints and the Raiders. Why give those four teams if you're probably not willing to do something like that? Why just not say, I'm not happy with where we're at, and can we work it out internally instead of positioning four teams to say, hey, I want to use these as potential targets?
Well, I think what happened here is that essentially Seattle didn't want to entertain the idea of talking to teams, and I think Russell was interested in seeing what was out there. And so I think this, in my mind, this is a way where Russell gets to send a smoke signal to a few teams. Hey, these are the teams that I'm interested in playing for. And it starts and continues the conversation that, frankly, has been going on in Seattle for a while, just that people haven't been in tune to it. Again, there are issues between these two sides. There have been some issues between the two sides. They're starting to surface now, but it's been going on, this dance, for quite some time from both sides. And so, again, it reached a point here, I think, where Russell Wilson said, I don't want to be traded. I'm not demanding to be traded. But if I were, here are teams that would interest me, because he has a no-trade clause. And if he got traded tomorrow to a team that he didn't want to go to, he could void that.
Shefty, I need the weight of your dog in the background. Little dog, big dog, because that's one hell of a bark, man.
Not one dog, five dogs.
Jerry. Five dogs?
Five dogs.
What kind of dog, Shefty?
I'm surprised you could hear that. I've got doors shut, and you could still hear the dogs.
It's
wow.
Barking news. I like it.
The Schefter News Hounds.
It's man bites dog, dog bites man. Either way, yeah. Adam's all over it. Adam, thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
appreciate
Shefty.
It.
Key is back with us. One thing we weren't gonna add. Yeah, you are back.
Is that thing on?
Hello.
So we were gonna ask Adam this, but it's a bigger conversation to be had. Tag deadline day, about a little over 7 hours away. Do you expect it to be busy? I mean, it really hasn't been. I mean, we've been talking so much about Dak, the oxygen for that conversation. What do you expect today as we approach 4 Eastern?
I think so far, what is it, 3 or 4 guys that's been tagged, a handful of guys, and it'll probably be another handful of guys. I mean, when you think about it, a lot of teams that are out there probably not going to franchise tag guys because maybe
Shaq
they
Barrett,
don't.
Maybe.
Huh?
Shaq.
Barrett?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if they franchise tag him because they probably can get a deal done with him opposed to Chris Godwin. I feel like Chris Godwin's number is lower. Now, remember, when they franchise tag you, that cap space is eaten up.
Yeah.
So if you do Chris Godwin, that number is about $16 million of cap space opposed to a pass rusher like Shaq Barrett, which is a little bit higher.
So we'll end up seeing what happens, because it's just one of those situations where, I think we all just thought, 24 hours ago, surely the next guy on that list was going to be Dak Prescott, right? I mean, that's how quickly things change in the NFL, and suddenly he goes from being locked up for one more year in another stalemate to this.
If you remember prior to getting off the air, I said, by the time we get off the air, his deal will get done, we'll miss it.
Mm-hmm.
And it got done later on.
We are presented by Progressive Insurance. So, on the way, Super Bowl or bust for Dak? We'll explain. That's our poll question. You can weigh in next at the top of the hour.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority.
Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.